Kimadagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and today Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison says that when God provides an opportunity, don't miss it, because it will decide whose neighbourhood you'll be hanging out in, heaven or hell.
When I got a job at CRS when I was out of prison, I was transferred back to Moree, and I had to cover a huge area, and often I'd spend 3 weeks on the road. And I remember I was with my boss, the new regional manager. She was just voted in, and we was going for a lunch with some of the staff, and we was walking through the mall at Tamworth. When I first got the job, I had only mentioned once to the person that employed me that I'd been in the prison. And I said, I noticed it wasn't on your employment application, you know, about prison records. And she looked at me when she said to me, she said, Tony, she said, have you got a prison record? I said, yes, I have. She said, well, what is it? I said, oh, I was in jail for robbing banks. Oh, she said, well, there's, you know, no banks and payrolls involved with what you're doing, so you got the job. And so she said, well, just keep that, you know, between me and you, you know, it'll be okay. You don't have to tell everybody. Anyway, back in Tamworth a couple of years later, I'm off with the boss to lunch. You know, when I used to preach in prison, a lot of the times people would come and listen, and you didn't know a lot of people, and some people would turn up regular, and you never knew who you was going to touch. Anyway, I'm walking through the mall with my boss, and I can hear this voice singing out through the mall, Tony Dennison, Tony Dennison, do you remember me, Tony Dennison? Anyway, this guy pulls up in front of me out of breath, he's been running. He said, don't you remember me from prison? He said, you know, when you used to preach the gospel, he said, I never, ever, ever attended a meeting when you preached in prison. But he said, I'm the guy that sat on the fringe when you was preaching the gospel. You know, he said, I was just sitting back far enough so that people wouldn't put me in the category of attending your church service. But I was always sitting where I could hear what you were saying. He said, you know what? I left prison. I never gave it another thought. He said, I went back in the prison. I was still committing crimes and doing whatever else. And he said, you know what? 6 months ago, he said, I actually went to a church service with my wife. She finally wore me down and got me to go, he said, and the preacher said something. And he said, and it reminded me something that you said when you was preaching in prison. And he said, and because of what you said, he said, I gave my heart to God. I became a Christian. And you know what? He said, it's been 6 months since I've become a Christian. And he said, you know what I said to God? He said, God, he said, I just want to see that black fella one more time. He said, I want to tell him that he touched me with all the sermons that he shared in prison. I'd never forgotten one of them. And this guy was a white guy, you know, and I don't remember ever seeing him at any of my meetings. He used to sit on the fringe of my meetings. Can you imagine the look on my boss's face when he comes through the mall singing out, Tony Dennison, do you remember me from prison? My boss stood there with the mouth open catching blowflies on a summer's day. When he left, she said to me, was you in prison? And I told her about it, and I had a bit of a share with her. And see, God wasn't done with me that day either, because I went into the coffee shop. We sat down to have a coffee, and one of the prison guards who got saved, well, I didn't even know he got saved, was sitting down having a coffee. And when I first knew him, he was only a two-striper in the prison. He was a wing officer. But we was in Tamworth this day, and they got a new jail there at Tamworth, and this guy was one of the hierarchy, one of the bosses. And he had all his uniform on with his pips and, you know, and that. He was standing there in the mall, and he come up and he hugged me. And he said, Tony Dennison, as I live and breathe, he said. He said, I want you to know, he said, you changed my life. He said, I used to listen to you preaching and watch your behaviour in prison, he said, and I got saved. My whole family got saved. And he said, I'm still in the prison service. He said, I don't know if it'll affect my career or not, he said, but how long are you in town for? I said, well, I'm here for a week. He said, the first thing I want to do is make a phone call. He said, can you give me a minute? He made a phone call to his wife, and he said, Tony Dennison is in town, and I want to invite him home for dinner. Would that be okay with you? And she said, yes, please bring him home for dinner. And then he said to me, he said, the wife wants you to come home for dinner. Would you be happy to do that? I said, I would. He said, we've got another little request for you. He said, a few of the prison guards got saved while you was preaching in prison, and they probably never told you. He said, there's a half a dozen of me, and we have a Bible study. He said, would you come and have dinner with us and share whatever God puts on your heart to my wife, my family, my children, and all these other prison guards and their wives and their children? Will you come and share what God's put on your heart? And you know what? It was a privilege to go into this man's home, a prison guard, and share God's love to him and his family. You know, that reminds me of a story from the Bible. When Paul was in chains, and he demanded to see the emperor, and he was at a Roman centurion, had to take him to Rome. And he shared with anybody and everybody. You know, today, if you're struggling with work, you're struggling with things from home, you're struggling with relationships, you know, just to get by, to put food on the table. You're struggling with your children. You might be a single mum. And you're just not coping at the moment. There is a friend that we can all turn to in times of trouble. We often are guilty of not thinking about him at all. We ignore him. He stands at the door. He knocks at our hearts. He's waiting for an opportunity to come in. But most of all, even when you're a Christian, every day he's waiting to do something for you. God loves you so much that he's just waiting for an opportunity to show you how much he cares, to show you how much he loves you. You know, at the moment, all you have to do is reach out to God. You don't need Tony Dennison. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a tele-evangelist to lead you to God. You just need to want to talk to him. You just need to open up your heart. And you just need to say, God, please talk to me. God, please help me. God, please do something for me. And you know what? You can be specific. If you're having problems in certain areas of your life, you can say, God, I need you to help me with this. God, I've got anger problems. I really struggle with my anger. God, I have gambling problems. Or I'm struggling with heroin addiction. You know, you can just say to God, help me with this. And you know what? He will never let you down. You've got to surrender to God. And do it with a complete heart and a willingness to let God do it. Don't say it with your head and say, yes, God, I want you to help me with gambling. And you don't really mean it. And then you go a week without it or 2 weeks and then you're back doing it again. Or you, a person that are violent with your family, violent with your wife, and you're sorry when you do it, but you just don't know how to get around it or how to deal with it. And counseling can help. But the one I know that can help you with all these issues, and that's Jesus Christ.
There is no problem too big that God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, he cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, he cannot soothe it. Shoulders. I know my brother that he will carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders.
God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe.
When I was working in welfare in one of the churches in Sydney, I used to do the food ministry. The church got a phone call one day and they said, Tony, you need to go out and drop some food off to this woman's house. And the reason we're going to ask you to do it is because she only lives probably 200 yards from where you live. But if you think it's going to be a problem, it will send somebody else. And I said, no, just bundle up the food and I'll drop it in on the way home. And they gave me 3 cartons of food because this woman had 4 children. Unfortunately, the 4 children had 4 different fathers. And she was a single mum. And the father, that was the bloke that was living with her, he owned the last child. But the problem was he was a heroin addict. And so was she. And they struggled. But as a church, we didn't turn our backs on them because they was heroin addicts. We was there to minister and to give them love and food. And typical Tony Dennis, and I couldn't go to the house and just drop off the food and leave. I had to share what God put on my heart. And you know, as I shared with this woman, I just shared what God put on my heart. And you know what? She became saved. She became a Christian. She became born again. She became free of that heroin and that addiction to heroin the moment she got saved. God just took it all away from her. And this lady, she was so cool. You know, she was wanting me to pray for the kids. Anyway, she tried to share it with her partner when he came home, and she said, look, you know, it's been a few hours since I gave my heart to God. She said, now, by this time of the day, I'm hanging out for my shot of heroin, and I need my heroin. And she said, you know what, since I got saved, I don't need it. I'm free of it. She said, I know in my heart I'm free of it. And she said, you know, I want you to trust Tony, hear what he's got to say, and give your heart to God. And he didn't. He abused me. He called me everything. And he left. Because she was the one with the 4 kids. She got a better payday. With the child endowment and everything else, she got more money from the government. And with her being not dependent on heroin, then there goes his supply. Because she wasn't going to be using anymore. There goes his free supply of heroin. I left the family, and I was quite comfortable in the fact that I led it to God. And I said to her, God will get you through this. You just got to trust God. I'll live up the road 200 yards. Anytime you need prayer, anytime you need support, come and bring your children up home anytime you like. But you see, God's timing is always perfect. God doesn't want to see one person die and perish and go to hell. He will always try to give them an opportunity to accept him first. Not everybody accepts that. And you know what I struggled with later on? Because that night, when her partner couldn't get the heroin and she wasn't going to buy from him anymore, he put them all in the car and he was driving to Parramatta to get a shot. And he was hanging out for his shot. And he was doing 130 kilometres on the Great Western Highway. And when he got to Pendle Hill, they was arguing about the drugs. And he said, "If I can't have you the way you was, then nobody's going to have you, not even God." And he drove into a telegraph pole. And the only one that was killed was her. Him and the children survived. How good was God's timing that I was able to share God, and she accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Saviour at that time. She was gone to be with God.
Your name, Jesus, your name, Jesus.
Years ago, my brother-in-law, his mother was dying of cancer. And he said to me, he said, Tony, he said, she doesn't want to die in hospital. She wants to come home and die in dignity. And he said, all the family are gathered at home and we're letting people in two at a time. He said, you and your wife are welcome to come. Say a few words to her, you know, just come and see her before she goes. He said, because you're probably the only Christians we know. And so I said, okay. So we went down there and we sat in the room with her. And I'm an evangelist and I can't sit by and watch somebody dying who doesn't know God and not say something about our Lord. And I said to her, I said, do you know Jesus? She said, no, I don't. And I said, would you mind if I just share a little bit about our Saviour? Because he died especially for you so that you wouldn't die and go to hell. I would rather you went to heaven. So we got to share with her. We started to read from the book of Luke. And we started reading the Bible to her. And she enjoyed it so much, she said to us, can you and your wife come back and see me every day, you know, till I go? Because I draw comfort out of what you're saying from the Bible. Every day it got longer and longer. Sort of the first 10 minutes or the first 20 minutes, it was about an hour, 2 hours a day. And it wasn't a trouble. It wasn't a chore for us because we wanted to share Jesus. She turned around and she said to me after one of these hour-long sessions, she said to me, Tony, how do I become a Christian? How do I accept Jesus into my heart? You know, I prayed the sinner's prayer with her, and it was simple. We just shared God with her and asked her to accept Jesus into our heart, and she did that. I went out and told the family, and some family members were not really happy that we shared God with her. But her son was the one that invited us, and that's all that mattered. And her other son was pretty keen for us to go there and share as well. Last weekend, I got a phone call Thursday night, about 10 o'clock at night, saying that my brother-in-law was in a coma in hospital and they sent for the family because they didn't expect him to pull through the weekend. And so I rang my sister and I said, look, I want to come down, but we can't come now till Sunday, sort of Saturday. And they didn't think he would see Sunday anyway. But I just prayed and I asked the church and I asked several churches to pray for him. And then on the way down, I prayed for him myself. And I said, God, when I get in there, Lord, just give me an opportunity to pray for him and to share with him. And the fact that he'd been in a coma all week and hadn't really spoken to anybody, he sort of drifts in and out of consciousness and he opens his eyes. So when we got in there, me and my son, after an hour and a half, 2 hours, was allowed in to see him. And as soon as I got in there, he heard my voice. All my family that don't know God, they often joke and call me God because I'm the only one that knows God. And when they're in trouble, they always know where to come. Anyway, I got in there and I said to him, as soon as he heard my voice, his eyes opened up. And I said to him, brother, I want to pray for you. And he opened his eyes, he looked at me and he spoke for the first time in a week. He said, please pray for me. And I did. I prayed for him. And then after I finished praying for him, I held his hand and told him that his football team should win this afternoon. And we just talked and he went back into unconsciousness. But he had a peace about him. I went out and told my sister and told her that he actually spoke to me and she was pretty happy about that I prayed for him. And then when you do something good like that, the devil comes along and attacks, because what happened that afternoon, he went downhill. He went really downhill that afternoon and they wouldn't even let the family see him. And I'd rang family members and told him that I prayed for him. And then family members were saying to me, Tony, we need a miracle. We need a miracle. And you're the only one that can help because you're the only one that believes in God and believes in miracles. I'm still praying for him. He's on dialysis and life support. I'm praying for him and I believe that God will give him a chance to make an opportunity to either accept him or deny him. And I feel at peace that I did what God wanted me to do. So today I'm saying to you guys, get to know God. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Build a relationship with God. I want you to think back to the very first time you met your partner, you met your wife or you met your husband, you fell in love. And that honeymoon period where you didn't know each other and you had to spend that time getting to know each other. If you take the time to get to know God, you will be pleasantly surprised how good he is.
If you'd like to get to know God better, you can ring Tony on 0427 839 474. It's been great having your company today. Tony is back again at the same time next week, and we'd love you to join us. Please tell your friends about the program because it will bless them the way it has blessed you. You can find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International, and you can ring Tony with any questions you have on 0427 839 474. I'm Heidi, and I look forward to your company next week.